morning, and welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter. It is Ascension Sunday, which has its own significance that we'll hear more about, and that tells us that Pentecost Sunday is next week. We continue with our worship theme, Heart of the Matter, and today's theme is Open the Eyes of Your Heart. Our guest preacher today is one that I've been seeing a lot more of these days, and that is my wife, Kirsten. Reverend Kirsten Weidman is the pastor of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in San Francisco, which, among other things, is the German language church of San Francisco. And by the way, there's a tradition in Germany to gather and to preach outside on Ascension Day. So just a thought, if it's safe and convenient and you have the opportunity and your internet connection allows, maybe go outside for this service. That's up to you, of course. Thanks to Pastor Kirsten for bringing her message to us. Thanks also to Sam Knapp for providing the prelude. Great to hear him play again for us. We will hear the news of community and then prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning. My name is Jenny Knapp, and I will be your liturgist for this Sunday, May 24th, worship service. I hope you'll join the virtual Zoom fellowship hour today at 11:30 a.m. using your telephone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. There are regularly over 20 participants, and the discussions are lively. We love to see new faces and invite you to give it a try if you haven't done so. Please refer to Reverend Fred's Saturday email for detailed instructions on how to join the conversation today. All are invited to Adult Ed next Wednesday, May 26th at 4 p.m. We continue to explore the Universal Christ through videos that we watch together and then discuss. Information about how to join through Zoom will come early next week from Reverend Fred. If you have not been receiving Hillcrest eBlasts or have any particular questions about adult ed, please contact Reverend Fred. Sunday school will take place again this Sunday afternoon. If your child hasn't yet participated, contact Allison Keekley Silva for further information. Zoom links are emailed weekly to the families. As you know, the physical church office needs to remain closed. Please contact the website or the written news of community for information on how to contact office manager Carolyn Mueller Reese, Allison Keekley Silva, or Reverend Fred. And now, let us quiet ourselves and prepare for worship.
Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset?
As we'll hear in Pastor Kirsten's reflection today, sometimes Ascension Day gets lost with all the ongoing interest in the story of Easter and the very soon-to-come story of Pentecost. Yet Ascension has a deep and lasting integrity all its own and lots of lessons to teach. The story of the last time the disciples saw Jesus on earth is a story of blessing. Jesus says that as witnesses to his presence and resurrection, they too, and by extension we too, will be filled with power to carry on Jesus' ministry, to be his hands and feet in the world. To see the world through the eyes of Jesus is to see through the eyes of love. We listen for God's word to us, we celebrate, and we sing.
Love's mighty spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as with an hope of born again. Then let us with the spirit's daring step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to
good morning. I am Sue Beadle, representing the Gifts and Memorials Committee. On Memorial Day Sunday, it is Hillcrest Church's tradition to read aloud the gifts made to Hillcrest in memory of individual members and friends, the specific use of the gifts, and the donors of the gifts for the preceding year. The list for 2019 through 2020 follows. A gift to the Maintenance Fund in memory of Norm Gruby from loving family and friends. A gift of air conditioners in memory of Dick and Mary Lee Post from loving family. A gift for the renovation of Room 16, improvements to the sanctuary sound system and new office computers in memory of Jean Wilson from her estate. A gift of landscape maintenance in memory of Cecily Stoddard from her estate. A gift of marketing consultation in memory of Joe Diaz, Dick and Mary Lee Post, and Phyllis Scholl from loving family and friends. And a gift to the Maintenance Fund in memory of Helen Brosia, Hope Dick, John Jost, Viola Nelson, Lyle Palmer, and Martha Vivrett from loving family and friends. The gifts, the memorial honorees, and the donors will be listed in the Gifts and Memorials book on display in the church narthex when Hillcrest is again open for public worship.
As you move into silent meditation on this Memorial Day Sunday, reflect on those in our Hillcrest family who have gone before us, especially those who we have recently lost. Picture them in your mind, hear their voices, see their smiles, and hold them in your heart.
And as we move into the prayers of the people, we take those blessed people from the past and the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us with us. We thank God for them and for how their lives blessed and continue to bless us now. And we hold up these two members of our Hillcrest family, Ariana and Ron. And we hold up our whole church, all of our partner congregations in the Northern California Nevada Conference of the United Church of Christ, and in the Interfaith Council of Contra Costa County, and in the Multifaith Action Coalition, all congregations who are meeting the challenges of serving God and others at this time. I would like now to share a prayer from the Global Ministries Partnership of the United Church of Christ and the Disciples of Christ. It is from Linda Lawrence, the Child and Elder Sponsorship Program Manager of Global Ministries. Following her prayer, I'll leave a time of silence for all of us to call out to God people or places bringing us joy or concern at this time. And then I'll ask us to join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of all creatures, big and small, we want to give you thanks. For Global Ministries' domestic staff, mission co-partners, partners, donors, and friends around the world, we pray for those experiencing homelessness, hunger, and unemployment because of the pandemic. We pray for the already underrepresented migrant workers, immigrants, and refugees here and around the world. We pray for our first responders as they put others and their countries in front of their own lives and families. We thank each of them for what they are doing to sustain lives everywhere as they walk the way you would walk. Keep us still so that we may listen to you. Give us a sound mind about this coronavirus. Be by our side as we pray daily that this will pass and will come to an end soon. Let the prayers of all people in all nations pray that the challenges from this pandemic will end soon. We will overcome in your name. Amen. And I invite you all to call out to God what and who brings you concern or joy now. And let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first lesson for this Ascension Sunday is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. What does it have to say about Christ, and what does it have to say about us? And how can a heart have eyes? Let's listen. St. Paul is speaking. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign of Glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything in every way.
In today's gospel, we hear about how Jesus left this physical world and his followers behind, but not without a blessing and his indelible mark. So listen to the gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending to you what my Abba God promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy. And they were continuously in the temple, praising God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Today is Ascension Sunday, which makes it the end of Easter season, and the day that we remember Jesus ascending to heaven. It's when we switch from focusing on the things that Christ did while he was here with us to the things that we can do to make the world a better place. Tomorrow is also Memorial Day, which is when we remember people who left the world a better place. So, what I'd like you to do today, pause the video if you have to, but discuss with a parent or a family member, who are some people who left the world a better place? Maybe you're thinking of someone famous like Martin Luther King, or maybe you're thinking of someone personal to you, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent. Either way, I'd like you to also think about some ways that you could make the world a better place, that people could remember you when you've died. See you all in Sunday school.
Someone asked the question, why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering, when we sing a song, at times we may be crying, and nothing's even wrong.
I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free, 'cause eyes on the sparrow,
that's the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah, I give praise to you. Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
When the song is over, we've all said amen. In your heart, just keep on singing, and the song will never end. And if somebody asked you, was it just a show? Lift your hands and be a witness and tell the whole world no.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Got eyes on the sparrow.
That's the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah. I give the praise to you. Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason why I sing.
When we cross that river to study one no more, we will sing our song to Jesus, the one whom we adore. When we cross that river to study one no more, we will sing our song to Jesus, the one whom we adore.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. God's eyes on the sparrow.
That's the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
Glory, hallelujah, I give the praise to you. Glory, hallelujah,
you're the reason why I sing.
Alleluia, Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace be with you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I begin, first of all, let me express how excited I am that I finally get to preach for you, the people of Hillcrest and beyond. I cannot tell you how many times I tried to convince your pastor, my husband, Fred, to mix it up a little, you know, maybe do a pulpit exchange, but it's never come about. So today, I am grateful that I can be with you in this way. So today, we observe and celebrate the Ascension of our Lord. It's one of those holidays that rank pretty low on our list. It's nothing like Easter or Christmas. It doesn't help that Ascension Day always falls on a Thursday, you know, 40 days after Easter. And if we didn't choose to observe it on the Sunday after, like we do today, this holy day would be totally obscure. We don't even miss it when we don't celebrate it. So what do we actually commemorate on this festival day of the Ascension of our Lord? Well, we heard it in today's Gospel. On Ascension Day, the risen Christ, after having spent 40 days with his followers, is finally taken up to the heavens. To the first Christians, this was an important event, so important that it was even included in the early creeds, like the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, we hear. In fact, Ascension Day was one of the very first holy days that were commemorated by the young Christian community, centuries before Christmas. Now, isn't that something? But somehow Ascension Day has somehow lost its luster. And I personally think it's a shame. So I would like to invite you to explore Ascension Day with me and to rediscover it as a day that still has meaning for us, even in the postmodern age. Well, and I want to do that through art. There are plenty of illustrations of Jesus' ascension. It is one of the favorite motifs of artists throughout the centuries. The earliest known depiction of the ascension is an ivory plaque from about 400 AD, either from Milan or Rome. In this relief, we find some scenes surrounding Jesus' resurrection at the bottom. Don't look at that. I would like you to focus on the upper right corner. Here, Jesus seemingly climbs up a stairway to heaven. And I think it's kind of cute, you know, that you have the hand of God, the Abba, the Father, reaching out to help him up. Heaven is just a few steps away from earth, and there is no great distinction between the two. I like that. And it seems that this depiction reflects what Christians around the year 400 believed, that heaven and earth actually are pretty close to each other, and that consequently God is pretty close as well. That Christ is close and indeed could come back any day, just like that. But throughout art history, the depiction of Christ's ascension became more and more esoteric and even grandiose, bombastic. And this is the kind of image we probably have in front of our inner eye when we think of the ascension. This picture by 16th century Dutch master Rembrandt is but one example for that. Now we see Jesus, you know, an ethereal figure in white, taking off, his gaze enraptured and directed to the heavens, angels all around, whilst his disciples observe the spectacle from the dark veil of tears. These images emphasize the glory of Christ, who now will be seated in eternal majesty at the right hand of the Father in a galaxy far, far away. But now let me share with you my personal favorite picture of the Ascension, which shifts the focus back from heaven to earth. Albrecht Dürer, a German artist of the late 15th and early 16th century, created this woodcut. And that's it. That's the entire image. It's not just a section of another picture. This is it, and it's about 4 by 5 inches big. And it's almost comical because, you know what, all you can see is Jesus' feet, and somehow Jesus seems to be lifted up into the heavens like by an invisible elevator. But the more important thing is that the focus is not on heaven and not really on Christ, but on what happens on earth. Because here we see the disciples, male and female, by the way, and they react in various ways. Some are enraptured. Some seem mortified, shocked, even panicked. In the background, there is a raised hand that could be praising the Lord, but could also try to pull Jesus back to earth. Some seem to be ready for Jesus to leave them behind, but some obviously are not. Some just can't let go. And who could blame them? For 40 days, the disciples were blessed with the presence of the risen Christ in flesh and blood. And it may have stoked the disciples' hopes. Maybe things would be like before the crucifixion, like in the good old days. Maybe things would go back to normal. But Christ has something else in mind and heart for them. And that's where the number 40 comes in. This is not a random number, but in Judaism, it is the sacred number that symbolizes fulfillment. It rained 40 days and nights when Noah was on the ark, and it took another 40 days for the earth to dry up again so that life could thrive on this planet once more. The people of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness after the flight from Egypt, before they were allowed to enter the promised land and begin a new life. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism, before he began his ministry. The number 40 symbolizes a necessary journey and preparation before the time is fulfilled and a new thing can happen. The followers of Christ had 40 days of preparation, and now it's time for them to move on and to do a new thing. And what have they been prepared for? In short, to continue where Christ left off, to walk in Jesus' footsteps. In today's gospel, Christ's mandate is described in a nutshell. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. In the beginning of the book of Acts, which describes the same story, Jesus' mandate is described as follows. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus practically cheers on his followers. Carry on the work that I have begun. You can do it. And why can they do it? For one, there is the Holy Spirit Jesus promises to send to help the disciples with that task. But Jesus also left a strong mark on their lives. Dürer genially incorporates this in his woodcut. If you pay close attention, you see that there are footprints in the rock from which Christ takes off, and which, by the way, looks very much like a globe. I mean, what a clever interpretation, what a clever statement. Jesus Christ left a mark, an imprint on the disciples' lives and the world. And as the footprints also testify, it was not a ghost or a demon who walked with the disciples, but truly a man of flesh and blood, down to earth, a man of the earth, Adam. Christ being seated at the right hand of the Father is an important statement of our faith and stresses Christ's glory, that he is God and much bigger than us, and that he has the power to save us as we cannot save ourselves, no matter how hard we try. But it is just as important what happens on earth as we, the followers of Christ today, are endowed with this gift of God's Holy Spirit that ties all relationships together, that ties heaven and earth together. We, as the followers of Christ today, live as the body of Christ and continue in his legacy, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins and being Christ's witnesses, not only in word, but also, and more importantly, in deed, to the ends of the earth and in the communities we live in. Christ's presence today is mainly felt and experienced through what we do in the name of Christ. That's why we're here today, because throughout history there have been the faithful who have continued to walk in Christ's footsteps, embodying his love and grace and forgiveness, representing Christ on earth. And there are those who come after us who will carry on the legacy because they experienced Christ through us. There are quite a few people out there who ask right now, who is God? Where is God in times of challenge and difficulty? Where is God in the time of the crisis we currently go through? Is God up there in some heaven, far removed and strangely unconcerned with all the pain and anxiety and grief we are going through? Let me tell you, God is everywhere. God is in the helping hands of nurses and doctors and first responders and other people who give medical care. God is in the feverish brains of scientists who try to find a vaccine and a cure against the novel coronavirus. God is in the voices of advocates who speak up against all the injustices that may not be new, but that have been especially brought to light during this crisis. God is in the imagination of all those who understand that we shouldn't, that we can't go back to normal once the coronavirus crisis is more or less over. God is in the labor of all those who can't stay home right now, but have to work, often under hazardous conditions, to keep our society going. God is in all those who reach out to someone else these days, checking in, sharing the pain, the anxiety, the grief. God is present in you, in me, in us, together. Christ's presence today and every day is mainly felt and experienced through what we do in the name of Christ. Christ left his mark on us. They are Christ's footprints in our hearts. Christ may not be physically present with us today, but he is still in us and with us and through us and through the Holy Spirit, which binds everything and all of us together in love. That's what I want us to remember today, and that's why Ascension Day is as important today as it was to the first disciples. Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and
the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
And now it's the time of offering. As we participate in this shared experience at separate times in separate spaces, let's remember that together we can have an impact on our community and our world through our gifts of time, talent, and financial resources. It is in this spirit that we offer our gifts. Please continue to give by sending in pledges or offering through the mail or giving online at hillcrestucc.org. Our gifts support and grow our vital ministries to care for each other, our community, and the world. And please remember, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. We are church together. We give together as we support one another and support our ministries. Let us pray. Creator God, draw close to our hearts, especially when we feel overwhelmed or afraid. Remind us that it is your sustaining love that will get us and all people through this difficult time. Bless our gifts that they may help others know that they are held in your loving light. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
As it is written in the story of Ascension Day, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. What did he say? What would he say to you? Imagine Jesus beside you with hands raised in blessing. May God bless you now and forever. May God show you the way, even, perhaps especially when, you don't know the way or don't know that God is with you. God bless you on your way and as you share God's ways with others. Amen. And now as we share the peace of Christ one with another, I invite you to look up. If you're outside, see the sky. And if you're inside, see the sky too. Don't let a little thing like the ceiling or the roof get in the way. How do you see Jesus ascending? Like Dürer did? Or Rembrandt? Or that unnamed artist from the 4th century? And now look down. Where do you see Jesus' footprints? Or how do you feel and know Jesus' impressions in you and on you? Feel the peace of Christ all around you. And share that peace of Christ now, one with another and with the world, as we say together, the peace of Christ be with you. And respond, and also with you. Amen. Our service has ended. We will gather in real time at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, May 24th, for a special fellowship time on our Zoom platform. The information to join has been circulated already. If you haven't got it or have questions or concerns about joining, please email me at revfred.hillcrest@gmail.com. at att.net, revfred.hillcrest@att.net. Go in peace, stay home in peace, shelter in peace, and share God's peace. Hope to see you soon. Amen.